Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Sunday Scary with your host from the Far End of the Bench podcast, Jim Palato.
What's up, everybody? Happy Sunday. I am back by myself, Sunday Scaries, the show where I talk about school, sports, life in general, where I kind of get my own free reign of what we are and are not going to cover. So thank you very much for tuning in. If this is your first time on the page, be sure to leave a like, comment on the video, subscribe to the channel. This is where you can catch our other show, the flagship show for the channel, Far End of the Bench, with myself and Nico Bryant, every Thursday, where you can hear our new episodes both on this channel, any podcasting platform, the Variety Sports Network YouTube channel. We are presented by the Variety Sports Network, so give them a big shout out. Make sure you check it out. I know they did their tailgate show earlier today. I will be on VSN tonight for Talking the Gridiron later to wrap up the weekend of football. So plenty of great stuff coming from VSN and Far End of the Bench. Follow us at FEOTB Pod. And be sure to tell us how you enjoy. Be sure to tell your friends. Continue to help us grow the show. This one has been a lot of fun, and we're starting off with a little bit, you know, similar to what I did last episode. I took a week off. I think this is probably going to be the schedule that I want to have for the show moving forward. Every week having three shows, four shows if you count VSN, it's a little bit much. I want to give myself proper time to make sure that the show is good for you all, because I need topics to be able to talk about, and 2 weeks of class time gives me about enough topics to be able to go through an entire show. And I also just, you know, don't want to, if I'm giving you a lackluster show, that's not going to be good for me. I don't want to do that. And I don't want you all to think that that's going to be happening. So moving forward, Sunday Scaries, every other week. This week, you can see the description as you're watching live, or if you're watching the replay on YouTube, we're going to talk about a little bit of a class update. My flag football team that I coach for Castle Rock Middle School, the Box State Bruins, some discipline that happened in the classroom, some other stuff that I may or may not just throw in there because every now and then I have ADD brain. Hopefully everybody had a great week. Hopefully it's been a good couple weeks. Be sure to check out Top of the Mountain if you haven't yet. Far End of the Bench from last week, episode 153. And I think that's all that I had to get out of the way. So let's start things off, shall we? Episode 6. We've been doing this now for a little bit of time. We talked about my 6-week update last episode. We're now 2 months into the school year. We have about 2 weeks left in the quarter before the first grading period is actually over. So we are moving right along. We're staying on a good schedule so far. Everything seems to be going well. Finished our geography unit. It is OVA. They have started Africa. We just took our first quiz over Africa. We started, you know, geography is over. I started with African geography. It's a good one. It's interesting because the topic itself, Africa, is difficult. Difficult to try and break down into specific chunks. It's difficult to make sure that everybody is understanding everything that they need to. But so far, I feel like it's been successful. I do still need to grade the quizzes. I was looking at them as they were coming in. A lot of people were taking their time, making sure that they were getting everything done. But Africa, just as a size thing in general, it's hard to explain. And I was trying to give them different ways to put it into perspective. There's over 1 billion people that live on the African continent. There's only 590 million people that live in the North American continent, Canada, Alaska, the U.S., and Mexico. It's huge. It is way bigger than we could ever put it into context. And sometimes that's a little bit difficult to understand. But that's why we start off with the African geography and trying to get everything there. You have all the different kinds of rivers, all the different kinds of mountains. Basically, what we were trying to discuss one of the better questions and one of the better topics that we tried to look at. We've been talking about geography as a good thing, or are there negatives to geography? And then I found a video talks about how the setup of the continent, the way that the continent itself is, since it's so long, instead of being more wide, it actually has a harder time. That's why it's taken so long. That's why every place was able to advance faster than Africa, because when you have similar climates throughout your continent, ergo Eurasia, where you have China having a similar climate, Middle East, Europe, the Mediterranean, they all basically are able to work together. They have common things that happen in their lives. They're able to group up and branch out. That's what we saw happen. So I think I used to be one of the people that said colonialism was probably the worst thing to ever happen to Africa. And while that is not great and obviously caused a lot of issues and still longstanding to this day, geography did not set up Africa for any kind of success either, because there is so many different climates, so many different land types that none of the tribes were able to commingle. People weren't able to expand their power reach very far. You basically have like regional kingdoms, Egypt, the Malis. It's different. So hopefully it's starting to make sense. It's a little bit, it's a moot point, because in seventh grade, for everything that we teach them, it's going to be retaught at some point throughout the rest of their schooling. So while I want them to know, it's a little bit more important for me to teach them how to ask questions and answer questions on their own. So that's what I've been trying to get through. And that's why the quiz was important. We're moving into ancient civilizations. So we're going to start with Mesopotamia. We're going to do a week of Mesopotamia, a week of the Sumerian kingdom, a week of the Akkadian Empire, which is the one that I'm planning. So we're co-planning with all three of the seventh grade social studies teachers. So our department lead took the Mesopotamia one for next week. Person who's underneath me classroom wise is going to take the Sumerian kingdom. I'm putting together our week's worth of lessons on the Akkadian Empire, and I think we're also going to do the Egyptian Empire to make sure that we still talk about all the major civilizations in the region of that time period. But then we're going to culminate, everybody's going to write a response. Which empire, which ancient civilization would you have rather lived in, and why? I think it's going to be good for them to try and be able to put their learning into practice, because now we've been trying to make sure that they can take inferences, they understand geographical references, everything like that. So they're trying, and I feel like they're doing a good job of what's going on. But it is, you know, it's seventh graders, so one day one day they can seem like they do understand everything that's going on. The next day they'll come back and not remember what they had for breakfast. So we're battling that a little bit, but it is going to be a lot of fun. And I appreciate this year. So last year was a little bit difficult. Obviously, it was my first year ever teaching in a classroom. I had no curriculum, no textbook or anything to go off of. We're basically trying to come up with everything on the fly. And while I think it was successful, I do think that there was probably a lack of differentiation and a lack of being able to reach everybody in the classroom, because I was just trying to learn a basic understanding of what teaching practice is that I wanted to try and what I would be able to continue to use moving forward, what I wasn't going to be able to. And so far this year, it's just the growth that I've seen in myself and the students that I have from year one to year two has been awesome. I really appreciate it. It's been great because we have a lot of our students from last year coming back. And I feel bad for them because we're coming up with such cool stuff now. This year, we've been trying to develop a thing for seventh and eighth grade social studies. For example, one of my schools, the thing for eighth graders was that we created a 28th Amendment. We had to go through the whole process of writing the bill, defending it. And then at the end of the year, we had our groups we were able to present to the parents in the room. They were our Supreme Court, they're our Congress, seeing whether or not our amendment would pass and be added to the Constitution. That was it's a difficult project, but it's one of the cooler projects that I was able to do. And that was their thing. That was the thing at the school. That's what everybody looked forward to. For math at the same school, we would do, scale model project. So you would pick a household item, you'd either scale it up or scale it down, and you'd have to create a model of what that looked like, and it would be displayed in the commons center part of the school. We have come up with, and I think we're starting on our path. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping that the kids are going to enjoy it, but I think they will. We got our inspiration from old school Spike TV, Deadliest Warrior. Shout out if you're a Deadliest Warrior fan. We are going to have a list of warriors from all the different continents that we cover. We're going to have them get into groups of four, and they are going to basically essentially do the entirety of the show through the last few weeks of school. So they're going to look up the weapons. They're going to look up the battle plans, the culture, the tactics, the armor. And based off of that, fighting styles, based off of the information they're able to find, they are going to come up with their argument as to why their warrior is the strongest. We're going to have all the different groups be able to, they're going to have a debate discussion. They're going into the center, weapons experts into the center, who has the greatest weapon setup and why is it better than the other one? So A, you're having to research your own warrior. B, you're going to have to research the other warriors and try and see where you're going to have to analyze where they are better, where they are worse, how it can be used to their advantage. So you're getting both sides of the coin there. And then they're having to display their argument. So it is very much, it's a good project because there's no correct answer. It's a good project because there's a lot of steps to it, and we're able to, the biggest thing about an assignment, especially an assignment like this, is an attention getter. So how am I going to get everybody excited to do this? Well, I came up, since I do this show, worked a lot in like the media space and coming up directing. I'm going to create Tales of the Tape videos for all the warriors where, you know, tell them where they're from, a little bit about their background, why they would be excited to learn about them, and then a whole boxing UFC introduction. And we may be able to do that before the debate discussion too, but that'll be in like a video package of all the warriors and kind of like a highlight show. So that'll be the first part where they're picking, getting put into their groups. And then from there, they'll start their research, building their arguments. We'll have a couple different stopping checkpoints to make sure that they're doing the correct things and making sure that they're on the right track to be able to complete it. But how cool is, we're coming up with the idea of making a Deadliest Warrior. And at some point, if we get the function of the project down, we can turn this into a media project. It could be a co thing where the yearbook comes in, or whoever is creating our school media at that point, because we do nightly news. Since we're the Blue Knights, there's nightly news that they're able to do. They send it out, everybody watches it for the school. We could be added to that, and I think it'd be cool for that. Those kids, they're directing the specific video, and we're able to see exactly where things are. But I think it was a fun meeting, which is not something that you normally hear. And I'm going to talk about a meeting that we had that wasn't very fun towards the end of the show. That's the class update so far. We've gotten through geography. We're into Africa. We're going to look at ancient civilizations next week. I'm really looking forward to, after ancient civilizations and fall break, we're going to come back and do environmental challenges, which is a lot of fun because they not only do they get to experience some of the issues that Africa faces, but we also have them compare it to the issues that we see here in the U.S. So it's a global perspective that they have to try and bring back. I love doing things where they have to try and relate it back to themselves. And just that Deadliest Warrior project, that was, I was getting excited. I wish I could go off and do my own version and see what grade I would have been able to get, because nowadays, I know I sound like an old man, and I'm not even really, I got less than a month before I turned 26, but I'm not really that old. I wish we had some of this available to us. Our projects would have been a little bit more fun if this was on the table or available. I think the best way to set up the next one, so flag football did not go well last week. It was a rough 0-2, 0-4 week for the Blue Knights 7th grade AB flag football. We talked last time we were getting ready for game one. A team won the first game so far. It's the only game that any of my teams have won. B team has not won a single game. We're struggling. I struggled with this because, yeah, we should probably have a playbook, but I don't have people that have all the similar experiences. So I have people that probably know how to read a playbook. I have people that probably have no clue what I mean by read your playbook. What does it say? It tells you the position that you're going to be playing. It tells you what you're supposed to be doing. But after trying to come up with routes on the sideline where I would just tell them the number for their offensive plays, rather than them trying to come up with plays in the huddle like I did with my team last year, we're installing a playbook. We got three games this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Next week would be the tournament, so we have a very limited amount of time, but I think at this point we have to try something. And I really hate moving kids up and down from A down to B, B down to C. I don't really like doing that, so I guess this is my way. I feel like in an 0-4 streak, you have to figure out how to change something. And what I was really struggling with, especially during the games on Thursday, so Tuesday we were playing one of the top teams in the district. Not that I expected to lose, but it was going to be an uphill battle either way. That one didn't hurt quite as bad. Then on Thursday, we go to our crosstown rival, Mesa. Last year, I think I scored 70 points in the A game and 90 points in the B game. We were able to just do whatever we wanted. I was expecting, it's nice. It's a bounce back game. We have to make sure that we get ourselves in a position, get ready for the playoffs, because I do think that we've qualified. And Mesa came out and absolutely kicked the crap out of us. We scored 0 points in our A game. Our B team, through two pick sixes. If we don't have those two pick sixes, it's a 3-point game instead of the two touchdown game that it ended up being. But I'm struggling. I'm like scrambling. I really don't know what to do or what we're going to end up having to try. and it's hard for me to try and keep everybody interested. But this is what I ended up coming back to, what I was thinking about while trying to come up with something after the game. So this quick little video clip, and then we'll be back here.
Okay. Heart.
I'm sorry?
You gotta have heart.
Can you elaborate on that?
Miles and miles of heart.
If you are one of the kids that are on my flag football teams, if you're one of the parents, we just need to bounce back. We need to have an attitude. They came to practice on Friday, which I'm proud of them for doing. I was struggling with wanting to come to practice. Did a little bit of a fun scrimmage to end things, but we did walk through the playbook, and so far it seems like they are willing to try anything. Same place that I'm at right now. We're willing to try pretty much anything to try and make sure that this thing goes in the direction that we want to. Basically, I'm turning myself into Jimmy McGinty and Ted Lasso. Want to be positive. I want to be able to figure something out, do it in an orthodox way. Maybe we don't have the same kind of speed or talent, or we lack in certain areas where we didn't last year. This team has to have something that they do better than my team did last year. And I think we throw the ball a little bit better. We have better routes. We have better receivers. We just have to figure out how to get them the ball, how to get everybody involved. We have formations now. We'll have plays. I think that's going to be going well. That was my issue coaching this week. The other team that I coached, Fox State Bruins tackle football team, That one I never have to worry about. That one is like my constant steady Eddie. 6-0 on the season now after those first 2 weeks where we had the forfeit, and then we had the junior buffs team pulling down eighth graders to play against our fifth graders. Now that we've been into our normal games, business as usual, putting up 40 burgers left and right. Won 42-6 yesterday, won 48-0 the week before, and I think 41-0 the week before that. So they are doing everything that we asked them on the field. I would say off the field, we've had issues where we had to discipline one of our kids for getting two in-school suspensions at practice. People not paying attention, being just generally, there's one thing to be confident, but there's a difference between confidence and cockiness. And I think the kids right now are right on the edge of that confidence and cockiness, and they don't have to really struggle. They don't struggle with any of the teams in the league right now. We'll see what happens, because this weekend we're supposed to be going up and we're playing in Nottingham Stadium in Greeley, Colorado, where the University of Northern Colorado plays over in the Big Sky. We're going to be the last game of the night under the lights, and we're playing against – right now we've only been playing up against our regional teams, so all the northern teams, kind of the teams that are on that side of things. We're going down and playing the Pikes Peak champions, the Colorado Springs Vikings, going up to Greeley and playing them. So they have a little bit further of a drive. Should be cool. Yesterday we played on a flag football field over at one of the middle schools. It was a middle school in my district, so I was laughing because they had our flag football regulation field set up on the actual 100-yard football field. That was the lines that they had painted. They didn't think that it would be an issue but we'll be on a real field. It'll be under the lights. The kids should have a little bit more of a test. I'm hoping that they respond. I'm hoping that we can get through to them, honestly, because right now, if you're a Box State Bruins player or parent, we are struggling with our discipline. The kids are being mean to each other. They're not being generally polite outside of school. We need to make sure that that goes away, because if we want to do the things that we want to do in this league and get set up and go into the national playoffs, we need to have all of our ducks in a row. There's a reason we're so hard on the kids, and there's a reason why we hold them to such a high standard, because they need to be able to do the right things on and off the field. They continue to get better, and I have more linemen than I know what to do with. I think I have 11 offensive and defensive linemen that I have to try and get all of the plays and everything else like that. Last few weeks have been really good on the field. I'd just like to see them do a little bit better in practice and off the field. This one will be a little bit quick because I do want to make sure that I can go and watch the Bengals game. I believe that they're getting ready to start, or they're starting at the moment. Had a little bit of a situation at school. This is not necessarily fun to talk about. So on Monday this week, I saw a couple of the students walking through the hall. One was screaming, he's got something, he has this, he brought this. The other kid takes back the person who the thing belonged to, didn't really know what it was, kind of looked like a folded up one of those fans that you might get on a hot day. I didn't know what it was, and it was clear, it felt like he probably shouldn't have it at school, so decided, you know what, you come with me, we're taking this down to the office, walked into it, the principal knew exactly what it was. I found out later that it was a butterfly knife trainer. So a 12-year-old student brought a butterfly knife trainer. The difference is that it doesn't have a blade on it, but you still you're able to practice the swinging open of the blade. And he had, this is his third incident where now he's brought an assimilated weapon to school. He had a cap gun on the bus last year. He brought this same butterfly knife trainer last year, and now he brought it again this year. It's clear that the parents know he has these things, and the parents said, yeah, we knew he had it. We got it for him. We tried to have the principal ask, well, does he have an actual knife that he's likely to bring to school? Wouldn't answer, but they don't know what he's bringing to school. So if he has a real knife there, there's a good chance that it's probably going to wind up in the halls, which is terrifying. Because this, not that you'd want to think of a thought like this about a 12-year-old boy, but right now he is showing very much the same type of tendencies that we saw in very bad situations. I read the Columbine book, so I'm going to tell you right now that I'm probably a little bit skewed, but some of the stuff that he's written in different assignments, he has a behavior like this in the past. Three strikes and you're not already suspended for over 2 weeks, or trying to, you know, he's on the verge of expulsion. And it's hard to say that you really should expel a seventh grader, except for the fact that when he's in the room, and on certain days, he is going to try and mess with as many of the people in that room as possible. I have 40 beings that I'm responsible for in the classroom. I have 30 to 40 beings that I'm responsible for every class period. I should not have to be worried about them with one of their fellow classmates, with one of the other students. He should not have been in the room last week after I confiscated the knife. He should not. And he came back and he was very ornery. And I think now that he's been in trouble, he's either going to go into his shell, which is terrifying because that means that he's probably thinking about doing something and he's going to explode, or he's just going to try and make it a little bit worse. Try and go even a little bit further. How much farther can I push this? I've brought the fake knife now to school twice. What if I bring the real knife? What if I stab somebody? Why do I have to be why do I have to be the one to deal with it? And then when he does stab somebody and I take the knife away from him and he gets hurt, why am I going to have to lose my job? There are things in place. There are reasons why this shouldn't be happening, and this shouldn't have to be a reality for teachers and educators. But it is. There was a kindergartner who shot his teacher last year in Colorado, because the parents didn't believe that he brought a gun to school. The principal wouldn't believe the teachers that said he has something. Let's search his backpack. He has something. Put it in his pocket. Took it out of his pocket. A gun's too big. Boom.
So is it going to take this person showing up with their knife and stabbing as many people as he can until somebody gets it away from him? I really hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that he gets, maybe it is an attention thing. He has a different stuff going on at home. Maybe he's not getting the attention that he really wants or thinks that he deserves. So maybe if we spend this little bit of extra time trying to figure out, hey, dude, don't be a raging a-hole psychopath. Because that's what you've been so far up this year. We're obviously not going to say that to him, but that, in my mind, that's exactly the correct description for what he's done so far. He got suspended the week before for dropping the N-word in one of the classes. He's been suspended in elementary school for telling one of the lunch ladies that he didn't come out of her so he doesn't have to listen to her. And I'm cleaning up the language quite a bit there. We need to figure something out, and it shouldn't be left down to the people, the teachers responsible for the room. I get that that's what I signed up for, but I did not sign up for having to watch out for Stabby McStabberson. That's going to do it for this week. I told you it would be a little bit shorter. Hopefully you guys check out Talking the Gridiron tonight. Myself, Darren Breyer, Brian the main man Johnson, and I think Rev is going to try and get back on to that show with us. If you didn't listen to Top of the Mountain, go back, check it out. Check out episode 153 of The Far End of the Bench. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, X, Instagram, and now TikTok. We have a new side of our digital media that we're putting out. We are getting some videos made for us that we've been putting out. You guys saw a couple of them that I posted already. At FEOTB Pod, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure that you leave a like, comment, tell somebody else about the show, and be sure to follow Variety Sports Network as well. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Episode 6 of Sunday Scaries. We'll be back in 2 weeks with this show, but I'll be back seeing everybody on Thursday after tonight's Talking the Gridiron for Far End of the Bench and then Top of the Mountain next week. So without further ado, I appreciate everybody. Have a good rest of your Sunday, and I will see you guys next time.